Hello, folks. This is Pastor Brennan coming to you live from Salem Springs, Arkansas, with another Pastor Brennan live broadcast. I want to thank you all for tuning in today on this very beautiful evening, very kind of chilly evening. I don't know where you guys are in the world, but I don't know. Down here is kind of nice. It's kind of cool down here. But anyways, thank you all for tuning in tonight, and thank you for those who will be tuning in. And today's topic, wanted to talk about the qualifications of a pastor, and qualifications of a deacon. And I think it's something that is always good to examine ourselves and examine what the qualifications are. Amen. And it's stuff that needs to be preached on because not a whole lot of people abide by those qualifications. And when I mean by people, I mean there are people who, you know, there are women out there that claim that they're called to pastor, and yet it is not what the Bible says, okay? It is not biblical for a woman to be a pastor. It is not biblical for them to be a deacon. Pastor and deacon are only ordained for the man. And that is because the woman was the one that was deceived, but the man was rebellious. Okay? The man was just flat out was rebellious, okay? So, we're going to be kind of taking a look at the qualifications of a pastor and deacon. And we're going to just, what I'm really just going to do is just, I'm just going to read from Timothy chapter 3. And I'm also going to read from Titus chapter 1. Because in Timothy 3 and Titus 1 are both areas where you actually see the qualifications. And God speaketh once, yea, twice. So let and out of the mouth of 2 to 3 witnesses, let every word be established. So we're going to be talking about that tonight. And let's see here. I also, but before we do, it's just some things I just want to just kind of just get out there and prayer requests and stuff like that. So if you guys, I got to pull up my prayer requests. Because I don't remember them all. And if people ask me to pray for them, sometimes if I don't write it down, I may forget. So I have to write things down, because if I don't write things down, I'm going to forget who it was that asked me and what their request was. But I always like to ask people if I can mention their prayer requests. And they normally, typically, people don't have a problem with that. Just some people just don't want to be named, and that's okay. I'm not going to mention any names. I want to be respectful to people. But the biggest one here, we do have a fellow sister in the Lord. Please keep her in prayer, because she is going through a rough time right now. And what I mean by rough time is she's really busy, and she's doing all this work herself, and it's wearing her out. And so pray for strength, pray for wisdom, pray that God would maybe bring someone to help her out with this load, maybe a family member or, you know, anything of that sort to help her out with that load. Also pray for a mother or two for salvation. Maybe, well, I don't know if maybe for salvation or not, but just pray for her mother. And so with that, if you can do that, that would be great. We need to keep her in prayer. And also, Brother Joey don't mind me calling him out by name. He doesn't care, but. And then I'm not going to mention his full name because, you know, it's just, you know, but he don't mind me calling out him by his first name. But for those of you that know Brother Joey, he has pain, so please keep him in prayer. Please continue to keep me in prayer. Keep my family in prayer. Please keep the ministry in prayer. Please keep these videos in prayer. The way things are kind of turning out, as per, job-wise, and knowing that I'm only going to be gone for 3 weeks and stuff, it would probably be better if I were to get unemployment, because unemployment, at least I'll be able to get something throughout that time I'm going to be gone. Versus if I were to get a job, I probably wouldn't be getting paid till, I don't know, by the time I head back, and everything will just sort of kind of, I don't know, maybe things are not going to be as orderly as possible if I were to get a job. So I'm thinking and leaning towards of getting unemployment for the time. Don't know how that's going to work out, but please pray for me on that. I do have some desires I'd like to do. For those of you that may be new, I do have, this is my last week before I have 3 weeks off. Which, by the way, is just fantastic, because 3 weeks off, I can spend time, I can spend more time and studying the Word and preaching. But I have some desires, and one of them is I would like to take some time to go up to Missouri and visit some friends. And for those of you that do watch this, that go to, or that listen on the Bethel and or go to Bethel Church, I would like to go and see you there and just fellowship with you guys and just see and just enjoy your company. I've really been needing some time off, been needing just, I don't know, I just feel like I need a vacation, with everything I do, I just feel like I need a vacation. So please pray for me on my time off. Please pray that if the good Lord wills, if He will allow me, that I can go up to visit those in Missouri. I've got some good friends. I've got a couple of pastor friends I want to visit and hang out with and stuff and just fellowship with them. And it's just great people. And I'll tell you what, Bethel is like my home away from home. And, you know, I have a home church that I go to, and I'm not on staff or anything there, but I have a home church that I go to, to be fed. So while I preach and have my ministry, I have a home church that I go to get fed, and actually one of the things I do is I do serve in my church, as well as tithe in my church as well. So I do, sir. I have my own home church that I tithe and serve at. But at the same time, I kind of like am a online pastor. I mean, I guess you could say that I'm an online pastor. I don't know if that would make sense or not. But, you know, my ministry right now, till, if the Lord willing, if I do plant a church, for now, I'm just an online pastor. But till then, I just continue doing what I'm doing, and I, like I said, I have a home church that I go to, but sometimes I like to just go up to Bethel, and I like Bethel Church. They are good people, and they're God-fearing, Bible-believing people, and I enjoy their company. I enjoy going up there. I enjoy their fellowship. I really do. And sometimes I just miss having that fellowship. Not that I don't get the fellowship here. It's just I do get that fellowship at my church. I do get that fellowship at work and at home. But I just miss the fellowship of them. I miss their fellowship. And I like going to them. I like just saying hello and just talking to them. And I just, you know, it's like I said, it's my home away from home. It's, I mean, it's It's not my home church, but it's my home away from home. So when I'm there, or if I'm in that area, I like going there because it's like I'm like part of their, I'm like their away family. That's how I see myself. I am their distant family. And I love them dearly. I mean, you know, I just, you can't ask for a better family than that. I mean, I have as just as equally, and the church I go to now, listen, my home church and my home away from home, I have the equal amount of fellowship, and they're great and good families. And both of those families, you can't ask for any better than that. I love my home church, and I love Bethel Church, and I just love God's people. I love the fellowship of God's people. I just want to just get to know you and just talk about the Lord. That's what I want. So anyways, so I have a desire to go up there. I also have another church. There's another church in Missouri that I've been meaning to get to actually see in person, and I haven't had the chance to do that yet. And I've been meaning to do it, and I just haven't. And so I have a desire to go up there to see them. So pray for me that if the Lord willing, that I might be able to get the chance to go up there during my 3-week vacation. And by the way, if I do go up there, then I'll still be doing my broadcast, but I might do a special edition broadcast. Anywhere I go, that's not, if I'm away from my top secret video broadcasting place, by the way, it's not that secret, but if I'm away from my broadcasting nook, I don't know if you want to call it that, but my little space, my broadcasting space, if I go somewhere else to broadcast, it's going to be a special edition. Or if I'm in my little broadcasting area, and if it's on a day that I don't normally do it, it's also a special edition. So, anyway, so keep me in prayer for that. If anybody has a prayer request, okay? Now listen, for those of you on Facebook, okay, if you have a prayer request, please message me or private message me and just ask me to pray for you. If you want me to mention your prayer request on the broadcasts, let me know. Okay. If you are on YouTube, please, that's going to be a difficult one because, I'm not quite sure how to go about that. I don't want to put anyone on the spot or embarrass anybody. So I'm not going to even attempt to have you put something on the comments about a prayer request if you don't want to. So I'm not going to even attempt that. But if you are on sermon audio and if you want a prayer request, feel free to email me. Please email me, let me know who you are, let me know a little bit of who you are, and then let me know what your prayer request is. And if you want me to mention it in my broadcast, please let me know on that too. I have emails, I'm able to check email on my phone. I got an iPhone, which actually is quite handy because, I can access my email anywhere. So, but anyways, just if you have sermon audio, feel free to email me on that. Pray for the sermon. I got a prayer request, another prayer request for you. Please pray for our sermon audio ministry. Okay, it is something that the good Lord has so graciously given us. And here's the thing. I want you guys to be in prayer that these videos will reach out to nations that forbid the teaching of the Bible. Okay, I want you to pray that these messages will have an impact on people. Amen. So pray for that. let's see here. I don't know. I think that's about it for that. Let's see here. I don't have any other news. Actually, I don't have any other prayer requests, but let's quickly just take a look at news. I know it kind of went on and on and on with that. I saw something on Facebook that, what was it? Let's see here. Okay, watch and pray headlines. What is this? This is the Washington Examiner. Brett Kavanaugh sides with liberal justices and declining to hear Planned Parenthood defunding case. I don't know. Here's the thing. Okay. Planned Parenthood needs to be defunded. And if Brett Kavanaugh sides with liberal justices and declining to hear Planned Parenthood, boy, I don't know. I don't know what to say about that. That's like red flags just popping up everywhere. I don't know. That just don't sound very good, okay? That does not sound very good. We need to pray for that, man. We need to pray for our government. We need to pray for Trump. We need to pray for all these leaders. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you're siding with liberals to decline to hear Planned Parenthood defunding, that kind of makes you kind of question who is he really about. Because it's kind of like, well, we put him in there because the fact that he's a constitutionalist, which he might. He could very well be a constitutionalist. I'm not arguing that. But the fact that it just kind of seems like Brett Kavanaugh just doesn't want Planned Parenthood to defund. And Planned Parenthood is planned murderhood is what it is. And it is murder because you're taking an innocent life and you're killing them. Now, let's see, what was it? Was it Oklahoma? I think someone's going to back me up on this, okay? So if you're watching this, if you can actually help me to look this up. I saw somewhere that Oklahoma is trying to pass a law that makes it illegal or makes it a crime to get an abortion of some sort. It was I can't remember what it was, but it makes it a felony is what it does, or you can go to jail for it or something. I can't remember exactly, but there's this law they're trying to pass in Oklahoma, which if that's true, then good. I think states need to start passing laws that makes it illegal to perform abortions, because it's murder is what it is. And if people don't like that, well, take it up with God and tell him you don't like it, because guess what? That's how God sees it. And I love my God. My God is Jesus Christ, and I love his word. And I'm going to tell you, God is always right. When this man is wrong, God is always right. Amen? So, anyways, I think that's going to be about enough for that. Now, like I said at the beginning of the program, we're going to be talking about the qualifications of a pastor and the qualifications of a deacon. So we're going to be starting in 1 Timothy. So if you have your King James Bibles, and I use the King James because that's the only one I preach out of, please turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 1. Okay, now this is what it says. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. By the way, the office of a bishop is a very sobering calling. It really is. It's a very sobering calling. Because, as we're going to see here, there are qualifications, and these qualifications are indeed pure and good qualifications that a bishop needs and a deacon needs. So, with that said, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. Let's stop right there for a second. Okay? Listen. If women could be pastors, okay, God would have put it in His Word that if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, and also one wife to a husband, but it doesn't say that. It says a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, not be blameless of one. Be blameless, the wife of one husband. It doesn't say that. Okay? It says the husband of one wife. Now, let me tell you something. I kind of sort of interpreted that as kind of, then that means that people who want to be pastors should be married. But here's the thing. There are single pastors. There's nothing wrong for pastors to be single. But if they marry, okay, if they marry, a pastor needs to be the husband of what? How many wives? One wife. Not two, not three, not seven, not ten. One. Okay? There are many single pastors out there. I'm single. And quite frankly, I would like to be married, but I don't know. I just don't see. I mean, unless if God has something planned for me that I don't see, I just don't know if I'm really cut out for marriage. You know, if it's God's will for me to be a single pastor all my life, then so be it. Might be easier anyways. Why? Because that way I can focus on the ministry. I can focus on what I need to do for God. Amen? So, a bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober. Okay, listen. Vigilant and sober cut ties together. That means don't go out and get drunk every weekend, and don't go out and make excuses to drink alcohol. Okay? By the way, don't get spiritually drunk either, which means stay away from Rodney Howard Brown, because Rodney Howard Brown will cause you to get drunk. And by the way, people call him the Holy Ghost bartender, and really, he is the Babylonian bartender. Okay? Why? Because he's got the spirit of Babylon. You know why? Because the Holy Ghost don't get you drunk. Okay? And by the way, if you are a minister and if you are a pastor and you're getting people spiritually drunk or you're physically drunk, that violates the qualification. So Rodney Howard Brown, by you doing what you're doing, you're going against what the Bible says about being sober. Okay? The Bible tells us to be sober, and yet you're going around making people drunk by the spirit that you have, which is a spirit of drunkenness. Rodney Howard Brown is a false teacher and a false prophet. Okay? My strong suggestion is stay away from him. Stay away from him. Vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. See, it's good for pastors to give hospitality and is apt to teach. Okay? Here's the big part. Not given to wine, nor striker, not greedy, a filthy lucre. You want to know something? Most of the American church and all these so-called pastors who are really, a lot of these are probably, you know, false and fake pastors, are only in it for filthy lucre's sake. Okay? I do what I do. And by the way, here's the thing. I don't want money. Okay? I don't want anyone's money. I like doing what I'm doing because I want to serve God freely. And I don't like doing things for money. And I hate begging people for money. And I hate doing things. But here's the thing. I understand that there are things in ministry that take money. I understand that. Okay? Which is why I'm open to people giving to the ministry, because I understand that things take money. And I understand that if people feel led to give, then they can give. But I'm not doing this for the money. I'm doing it because I want to do it. Because I know what God did for me on the cross. And I just want to just pay him back with my life. And be a living sacrifice and do what he tells me to. Why? Because he laid his life down for me. Amen. And by the way, what I said was much easier said than done. Okay? But here's the thing. Okay, I'm not in it for the money, but a lot of these fake and phony preachers are in it for the money. And nothing else. Okay? Not greedy, a filthy lucre, but patient. Not a brawler. Not covetous. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice. Oh, by the way, I'm not going to call anyone out by name. Okay? Not in this instance. Because I'm going to avoid embarrassing them. But I know of a particular King James pastor who is a pastor. Well, he says he is. Someone actually I know personally, and I've seen him almost, he seems nice, but he's a heretic. He is into that whole flat earth nonsense. But he can't even take, and he's single. But he can't even take care of his own house. He can't even take care of his own home. And what's sad is he gets it from his father, because his father doesn't even know how to handle his own house. So if his father doesn't know how to handle his own house, what makes you think he can? And he took over a church and handed over to a. Basically, he handed over to a cult, basically. A Christian cult. Well, a supposedly Christian, but they're really a cult. But anyways, that's neither here nor there, but he doesn't know how to rule his own house. Okay? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let those also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Now, being blameless, okay, that also goes with a pastor as well, not just a deacon, okay, being found blameless. And by the way, a lot of these so-called pastors, they're not blameless. They're guilty of heresy. They're probably guilty of much more that we don't know about. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife. Again, we see, let the deacons be the husband of one wife. It does not say, let the deacons be the wife of one husband. It does not say that. Why do we get to thinking that women can be pastors and deacons when it does not say that in my Bible? There's nowhere in my Bible that says women can be pastors. Okay? The pastor and deacon is only for the man. Okay? And I'm going to show you that in just a few minutes, in just a minute or two, in Titus. Okay? Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree in great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Let me tell you something. The reason why there are qualifications is because people ought to know how to behave themselves in God's house. Isn't it ironic that people who go and are completely against the Bible and they don't even take a look and they don't even take a look at the qualifications. They just think they can do whatever they want. Isn't it interesting that it's those exact people that don't know how to behave themselves in the house of God? Such as Rodney Howard Brown. Such as, let's see here. Kenneth Copeland. And all these tongue-talking, two-faced liars that they think that they're speaking in tongues and yet they're speaking in some unknown verbiages because there's no interpretation and they need to keep silent and they don't know how to behave. You know, those people, these heretics that are, you know, these false preachers, they're doing things contrary to the Bible. And I'm going to tell you something. When you do things contrary to the Word of God, you don't know how to behave yourself. You know why? Because it is the Word of God that teaches you how to behave yourself in the house of God. That is why there's qualifications for the pastor and the deacon. Why? So they know how to behave themselves when it comes to leadership in the church. And by the way, pastors and deacons are not exempt.
I said that wrong.
It's not just pastors and deacons, but the people who are just average, just your church-going folk. All the church-going people. Okay? Those people, the sheep, they are not exempt from that. Okay? They also have to learn how to behave themselves in the house of God. And you know how they learn? By the pastor. If the pastor doesn't know how to behave himself in the house of God, how will his flock know how to behave themselves? It all stems to the pastor. You see, that is why it is a sobering calling. Because the pastor has an obligation to lead, but to set the example for the flock. Amen? Anyways, let's continue on. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Amen. Now, turn with me to Titus. Titus. The book of Titus. Titus chapter 1. Okay, Titus chapter 1. We're only going to read chapter 1. Okay. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, and hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. Okay, so Paul had given Titus the job to ordain elders in the city. Okay. If any be blameless, okay, number one, they have to be blameless, okay, the husband of one wife. Again, it's the husband of one wife, not one wife to one husband. It's one husband to one wife. Having faithful children, not unfaithful. None accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless. Again, we see, it's really funny because blameless is mentioned twice, 6 and 7. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God. So it's not just them being blameless, but they also have to be blameless stewards. What does that mean? Here's what I think that means. That means pastors shouldn't take money from their church and start blowing it on private jets and things that they don't need. Kenneth Copeland. And Joel Osteen and all these other fake preachers. They take money from their church and they squander it on their own flesh. That is not being a faithful steward. Also, pastors need to tithe themselves. Amen. Pastors need to tithe themselves. If pastors are going to preach to their flock about tithing, they need to tithe themselves. If they don't, they're robbing from God and they're not blameless. They're guilty. They're guilty stewards. Why? Because they're guilty of not being a good steward. Okay? If any be blameless, okay. So for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed. You see that? Not self-willed. they need, pastors and bishops need to focus on the flock and protecting and serving them, not the other way around. Let's see here. Not soon angry, not given to wine nor striker, not given to filthy lucre. Filthy lucre, doing things just for the money. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men. You know, you want to know something? Pastors need to have a heart for God's people. They need to have a heart for their flock. Amen. They need to. But a lover of hospitality, lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Okay? There are many of these preachers who claim to be born again and they're not. They're fake preachers. And yet, they use false doctrine to try to convince gainsayers. It won't work. Pastors need to use sound doctrine to exhort and to convince gainsayers, not false teaching. They need to use sound doctrine, Bible doctrine, biblical doctrine. Amen? For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they are the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. You see that there are many preachers like Joel Osteen and Joyce Myers and all these other fake preachers do things just for the money. Their attitude is, well, if you give me money, God will bless you. That's not right. People who have that attitude, I'm not giving my money to. Okay? Now listen, I believe that God will bless the faithful. I do believe that. But the heretic is saying, if you give me the money, God will bless you. Well, there's a huge problem with that. It's not their money. Here's the thing. I'm not going to tell people how to tithe or what they should tithe. That's between them and God. Okay? But I do believe that God will honor and he will bless you for being obedient. But how you tithe or what you tithe is none of my business or anyone else's. That is between you and God. Amen? That's how it should be. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Christians are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Okay. These false and fake preachers profess to know him, but their works deny the Lord. That's why it says in James that I will show you my faith by my works. You know why? Have you ever heard the expression, your actions are louder? Your actions speak louder than words, because they do. Your actions should line up with your faith. Amen. My actions should line up with my faith. All of our actions need to line up with our faith. Otherwise, we're being disobedient. But anyways, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and on every good work reprobate. All these false teachers and preachers have a reprobate mind, and they will be turned over to a reprobate mind, and their conscience has been seared with a hot iron. Amen. Listen, I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm not trying to be mean or anything like that. But I have to preach the truth as it is. And that's because I am commanded by my King to do so. Okay? And so, with that, I want you guys to think on that. Think on that for a while. Read it. Study it out. Amen? Listen, I love you guys because I love you to tell you the truth. But the thing is, I don't want you taking my word for things. Okay? I want you to take what I say and you match it with this Bible, with the Word of God. If what I say does not match with what the Bible says, then let God be true and every man a liar. And if I'm wrong, then I pray and ask that the Lord will chasten and correct me and rebuke me and show me where I'm wrong. And I will have to give an account for that one of these days. But if I'm right, then I pray that He will show you what I'm talking about. Amen? Amen. So, listen, I don't have anything else to share today. I just wanted to just read through, the qualifications, talk a little bit about that. And, but anyways, listen, I love you guys. God bless you. Tomorrow is Wednesday. And, hang on a second. I've got my button for that. Let's see here. I gotta make sure my phone is turned up. I didn't do much of my buttons today. But just for the sake of it, I'm gonna have a little bit of fun right now. But tomorrow is Wednesday, and that is Hump Day. It is Hump Day. Hump Day is the middle of the American work week, and it is church night. So, tomorrow night, maybe we'll see. I might do a devotion tomorrow. We'll see. No. But I will do Fishers of Men on Thursday, and I will do a Pastor Brandon Live on Friday. So keep me in prayer on Thursday. We're going to continue picking up where we left off with our faith, And Friday, don't know what I'm going to talk about on Pastor Brandon Live, but we'll see how that works out. Anyways, please keep me in prayer with things I mentioned at the beginning of this broadcast. Please continue to keep my family in prayer, me in prayer, these videos in prayer. And please continue to just pray for us. You know, keep us in your prayers. And I appreciate you all. And I love you all. But anyways, with that said, this is Pastor Brandon. I'm signing off for the evening. God bless you. I love you. The good Lord willing, I might be on tomorrow for a live devotion. With that said, God bless you guys. Love you. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless. See you. Bye.